turn to Acts chapter 27. Next week, we're going to be starting a new series. It's going to be called The First and the Best. So come and find out what that's going to be all about. But today, the Lord put on my heart, this story has been speaking to me and put on my heart to share with you. So it's going to be a little different today. We're going to read the entire passage first, this whole story, and then we're going to go through it. So the way we're going to present it's a little different today than our normal sermon style. Beginning verse 9. Now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." This is Paul being taken by the Romans, along with people on a ship, on his way to Rome to be tried. So this is part of the leg of their journey on their way to Rome. Nevertheless, verse 11, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to go ahead and set sail there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there in the tempest. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, they thought it was going well, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete, but not long after a tempestuous headwind arose called Euryclidon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, no small tempest beat on us. In other words, it was pretty darn heavy and intense. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after a long absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and should not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you.' Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that we were drawing near some land, and they took surroundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took surroundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stem and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you, take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded them, those who could swim, jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And it was so that all escaped to the land safely. So here's the story of part of the leg of Paul's journey. They get into a boat on their way to Rome. Paul told them not to go. This was not the right season to be sailing. This is now, we're talking after the fast, in the Jewish fast in September, so we're talking the fall. And a tried sailor knew this is not the season to sail. Yet for some reason, they thought it was a good idea to do it. Paul warned them, but the men who were supposed to know said, yeah, it looks good. It looks like maybe the storms are going to come a little later in the season this year. So we're seeing clear skies right now. It's bright. It's clear. Let's move forward. So Paul warned them not to sail, but the leadership listened to the advice of men, listened to what they thought they knew, what they deduced in the flesh with the eye that they think they know. To me, as we get into this story is the perfect story of our journey of faith in our relationship with Jesus Christ in so many ways. Because here you have these guys doing what they felt they need to do. They thought it was the right thing to do. And we've all made that mistake, right? We've all, instead of listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, through Paul, was telling them, don't get stuck with your agenda. Don't get stuck to what you think you need to do. Trust God's timing in what you are doing. Don't trust your flesh. Don't let anxiety and worry, because you know this centurion had to answer to his superiors. And of course, as the sailors, the more they can get in and out to places, they're making more money. The sooner they make their delivery, they get paid. So everything was about what they felt, what they thought they knew, instead of taking that step back and listening to the Holy Spirit. So what did they do when the storm started to come? They secured the skiff. So what is the skiff? The skiff is the thing they would use to escape in, right? So what did they do? Well, you know what? Let's pull that thing up and put it on the ship and tie it tight to make sure it's going to be there when we need it to get there. When we have to escape or change our plans, do things differently, it's going to be there so we can escape from what we've committed to do, from what we were going to do. So they kept a way out as an option. Again, how many of us make plans and say, well, if it we don't do this, it doesn't happen this way, then my option two would be that way. With neglecting to ask God. With neglecting to move in the way things of God. We've all done these. But what happened? The storm got worse, verse 18. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. They began to throw stuff overboard. What were they doing? They were doing everything they can in the flesh to make it right. They were coming up with new ideas. What don't we need? Where can we cut? What can we maneuver? What can we do? You know, right now, you know, in our home, we're so grateful to Chris because he's doing some work in our home. And one of the things Tiff and I commit to is that we need to have a Sabbath. And yes, in the flesh, and I was sharing this with Chris yesterday, I would love, you know, for him to work 7 days a week, get it done within the next 2 weeks, and be done with it. But you know what? God's way is the perfect way. God said, you have a Sabbath. So we've been encouraging Chris every time he says, I'll come on Sunday. No. Take your Sabbath. There's nothing that's that urgent as far as we're concerned. Because the most important thing is to take that Sabbath and spend time with the Lord and with your family and do what God intended. That's why God created the Sabbath. So no matter what our plans are, God's plan is the perfect plan. And when we do it His way, it gets done right. So now these guys made the mistake and started a course in their life that they're going to have to deal with the natural consequences of this. But they're not without hope. They're never in a place, as we are never in a place, where God can't find us where we are and reach us. So even in the mistakes we've made in our lives, the choices that we've made, the decisions we've made, God is still there. Because who was still in the midst of them? Paul. Paul is symbolic of the presence of God, of the Holy Spirit in this story. Interceding for them, because that's what the Holy Spirit does, right? He intercedes. He comforts. He brings the revelation of God's word. He speaks truth. He brings the peace of Christ that Christ imparts on us so we can stand and operate from that place of peace. Because that's when things get done the right way. Because when we're frantic and all over the place, we are not thinking clearly, we're forgetting things, and we're doing things in the flesh with anxiety and worry. But the place of peace that the Holy Spirit puts us in is the place where we can get things done the right way, God's way. Because the storm got worse and all hope was beginning to fade. And verse 20, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we had to be saved was finally given up. They were giving up. Their situation was hopeless. What was going on? I want you to think for a second from the position of this centurion who's basically the one in charge but taking advice from people who would know. He's thinking he failed. He's dealing with guilt. What did I bring us to? I listened to these people, and yes, they're the ones who are supposed to know better, but I listened to them, therefore, and I agreed with them. Remember, when we agree with the lie, we empower the liar. Okay? When we agree with what is wrong, we empower that thing. So he's taking that responsibility. But you know what? Paul was just a shoulder turn away from him. The presence of God is just a shoulder turn away from us. He's right there. He can help us right the wrong and see us through the course that we've taken through this. So What does Paul say then in verse 21? But after a long abstinence from food, Paul stood in the midst and said, "Hey, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster or loss. But you know what? More is coming." He said, I told you, you were not equipped to do this. But he also said to them, you haven't eaten in a while. What does that mean, to eat? Jesus is the bread of life, right? He is the living water. So they have not been nourishing themselves spiritually. They have not been nourishing themselves with things that will give them the strength to carry on. When you haven't eaten in 7, 8, 9, 10 days and drank fresh water, or at least enough of it, your mind's not going to be straight. You're not going to be focused. You're not operating from a healthy place, from a spiritually strong place. You know, we can't fast or call something a fast if we're just denying ourselves food and water without receiving the nurturing from the Holy Spirit. We're not getting into His Word and letting His Word be our bread, our sustenance. See, they weren't, because up to this point, they haven't listened to Paul. So they were not being fed spiritually to be able to do and get back on course and allow God to do what He wants to do. When we're going through different things in our lives, sometimes the best place to start is to get back to those basics, where we just be still, know that He is God, start letting His Word feed us, because that's where wisdom comes from. That's where direction and understanding comes from. That's where faith is built. And let His Spirit begin to stir this within us, to take us deeper, to go into new things. Some of us have been fasting and praying and doing the right things right now. And we've been praying for things and we have not seen the fullness of the breakthrough yet. But take heart. Don't take heart. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. God is faithful to complete what he started. Paul was very confident in this in Philippians. That's why he said that. I'm confident of this very, very, very thing, that he who's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. But you know what the verse before that says? When you partner with the gospel. In that Philippians verse, before, we're so quick to quote, you know, he who's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. But right, the verse behind it, before it said, says, if you partner with the gospel, when you partner with the gospel, when you are receiving the nurturing, when you're operating from the place where God is moving in you, where you are seeking Him, He's teaching you, you're growing in Him, then you're operating the way He wants you to operate. And He will be the one to complete the work, not you, but He. So Paul assures them that even though in their worst hour, no one will die. What happens? This is what I love about the Lord, that they will make it. He says this in verse 22, "Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me an angel," and he shares them what the angel said, "and that not a single hair on anyone's head is going to be destroyed, and that every one of them is going to survive this." What was Paul doing? He was sharing his testimony. He was prophetically sharing what God showed him. He was speaking prophetically to them, saying, "Listen, in the Spirit of God, I am prophesying to you right now. This is what God is saying. Don't worry. Yes, there are natural consequences of this decision that was made at the beginning. But the Lord's going to get you through unscathed. You're going to learn a lesson, but you're not going to be harmed. God will see you through. He will walk you through when you trust in Him." So he was speaking a prophetic word into them. This is why we pray for more of the gift of the Holy Spirit to be operated in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Remember, they go hand in hand. This is why I spent how many weeks talking about the fivefold ministry, why it's important that we work together, those anointings work together as one in the ministry that takes place. He was speaking words of life to them. Most of them did not know Jesus as their Savior. There were a few with Paul. But beyond that, they were pagans in terms of being Romans. And then there might have been other slaves from other countries and possibly unbelieving Jews. But only a handful knew the Lord. But he was prophesying to the unbelievers. This is exactly what we want to see the Lord do. We want the Lord to speak through us to bring encouragement and hope. Because that he was speaking words of life, words of hope for people who are in a hopeless situation, for those that are struggling. Think about your coworkers. You know, when you're talking to them, when you step into work, are we thinking, Lord, I can see so-and-so is having a bad day. How can I speak words of life? What words can I say to them that's going to build hope? I have a group that I run at my job. It's called Moving Beyond Loss. It's dealing with grief and loss, all kinds of losses, not just death. And that is one of the heaviest groups that I've ever had to run. And I've been running this group now for 4 or 5 years, every Thursday morning. Before I go into that group every morning, I'm going, Lord, give me something that's going to restore hope to the hopeless. Even though they may not know, oh, thus says the Lord, I want to speak life. I want to strategically encourage them because I work in a secular environment with things of God that's going to build their faith in God one way or another. It's going to begin to stir that. So he's encouraging, he's speaking words of life. When God calls you, when the anointing's on you, one of the things I shared with the prayer team this morning is I felt like God was saying to us, I'm going to call on you today. And what that specifically meant was like when a teacher at school would say, Mike, answer this question for me. You know, and they'd call, pick on you, and you'd have to stand up and answer the question. Feel like the Holy Spirit was speaking to us today that the Lord is asking a lot of us now, saying, I'm going to call you to do this. Will you rise up and follow through? That I'm going to choose you to do this thing. Will you rise up and will you do it? Will you trust me to work through you to give you the answer you need? So Paul shared his testimony and the power that's in testimony, and he was giving them the hope of salvation. And he provided guidance. And he even said, listen, the boat's going to be destroyed. It must run aground on a certain island. And it's going to be destroyed, but you're going to live. And we're going to get into why the boat's going to be destroyed in a little bit. So they took courage. And they got close to land. And what happened? All of a sudden, they got close to land. Did they ask, hey, is this the way of escape, Lord? Is this what you have for us? Is this how I can get off the boat and be saved? So what did they do? They started making plans to save themselves. In other words, oh God, you said this, so let me help you out with it. Let me give you a hand, God. You prophetically said that, you know, you're going to save us. So since, we're here, this must be it. So let me help you out, God. Let me help you out. So verse 27 says, and when the 14th night had come, we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea. And about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawn near to land, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms, and then they found it to be 15 fathoms. They were looking for a way of escape, a reason to quit. But see, the journey wasn't over yet. God had not finished what he was going to do. Yes, it was their choice that brought them to where they are, but when you call upon the name of the Lord, he is faithful. And when now God, we've put our faith in God, we need to go the full distance. Not halfway and find a way of escape. A lot of us, and this to me was what really, really struck me. They were ready to quit. They were not trusting in what God had already told them. He's already given them promises. He's already told them what was going to happen. I mean, how much more detailed did Paul need it to be? I mean, even if God said, you must run aground on this island called Joe, they would not have known because they were not familiar with the islands where the wind blew them to. So even if God gave them specific name of the island, they would not have figured it out. But God gave them clear direction of what must take place. And the signs that God gave them to look for had not happened. And so, but they decided they were going to help God out. They weren't trusting in his promises. When we quit early on God, when God is taking us on a journey of faith, and we are hitting those storms, and things are not easy, and things are hard, and we are frustrated, very, very frustrated on our journey. Nothing seems to go right. Every decision we seem to make, even when we're trusting in the Lord, it seems from the natural, it's going wrong. It's falling apart. It's not making sense, God. What is going on here, God? Are you not listening to me, God? I'm trusting in your Holy Spirit. I thought I heard your voice. I thought I saw your hand moving here. Why is this not happening the way I want it to happen? And we want to just run. And we start looking for our own way of escape because God needs my help because he doesn't know what he's doing. Right? He needs my help. So they were ready to give up too quickly because quitting early removes us from the blessing. The way to get the full blessing that God has for us. And the blessing can come in many forms. But the best thing about that blessing is it builds our faith. Forget what the end result actually looks like. The fact is when we ride the full thing with God and take it to the very end, the biggest blessing of all is that we are more intimately closer to God than we were before. But then beyond that, there's more. There's God builds upon that. But when we quit early, and this is the part of this story that really struck me, because how many of us feel called to something or we're given a promise or felt led to something. And I go back to what God put on my heart last Sunday that I shared with you. You know, sometimes God has spoken something into your life or gave you a dream or a vision or a purpose or placed something on your heart that, man, yes, I'm going to do this. And then life happens. And all of a sudden, the stuff of life becomes like these storms that now we don't believe we're going to be saved. It's not going to happen the way God put it on our heart. You know, so what do? We give up. We quit early. We miss the blessing. I used to share this in the past, long time ago, but you know, I remember to this day as a 17-year-old, my favorite band was Stryper back then and Petra. And I used to dream. I mean, literally, I would sit there and vision in my mind, picture the whole scene where I would be leading worship. And this is back before contemporary worship is what it is today, with some of those songs. Literally. For 13 years, that never happened. In my 30s, God brought me back to that place. And it's better than I could have ever even dreamed it then. But you know what? Life had to happen. Because worship is intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That's what worship is. It's your passion. It's your intimacy. And I had to learn, and I'm still learning, going through the process of learning to be intimate with Him more, to go deeper with Him more. But God brought it back. I thought it was dead. I thought it was just a wild kid dream. But look, years later, there's nothing I love to do more than that. And He's given me the opportunity over and over again. And He's doing it His way, not my way. And I only share that testimony to encourage you that the dreams and visions God has given you, don't give up on them yet. Because there's still blessing to come in the fact that you're going to be more intimate with Him. At the very least, and much more than that, beyond. Don't give up on that. To receive what God has for us, we have to stay the course. To receive what God had for them, they had to stay the course. So Paul said to the centurion in verse 31, "Unless these men stay on the ship, you cannot be saved." The soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. He had to get rid of the way of escape. He had to get rid of the thing that they can use as a safety net. Well, if it's not working the way I want it, or if it hurts too much, or I just in the flesh can't handle it, I'm going to run away. I'll just quit. They had to cut off all avenues of escape. Because as long as it's there, it's going to be tempting, isn't it? The temptation will be there as long as we say, I'll keep it just in case. Just in case I need it. It'll be there. I don't plan on using it, but just in case, we'll keep that little skiff there. You know? That little bit of doubt opens the door for the enemy to speak lies that we begin to agree with and empower. That little bit of doubt will create fear, that the enemy will just continue to run. What does God want for us? Complete reliance on Him. We sang, I breathe you in, God. And within that song, you are good. I breathe your goodness in. You have my best interest at hand. You're not giving up on me. You're not letting go of me. You haven't gave up on the dreams that you've given me and my hopes. So why should I give up on those myself? I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. So they remove the thing that tempts them. But then I love what Paul does next. He said, as the day was about to dawn, Paul said, listen, you haven't eaten in 14 days. Today is the 14th day without food and eat nothing. Time for us to go to the place to feed our souls. We got rid of anything that's going to distract us. We removed the obstacles. Let's get to the place where we can be nourished by God and feed our souls. It's time to eat. And what did he do? He reminded them of the promise that God gave them. God may be reminding you today of the promise he's given you. The hopes and dreams, the desires, the things that maybe recently you're going through. He's saying, don't give up. Stay the course, no matter what it looks like right now. Don't quit on me too early. The blessing is waiting on the shore. Just hang in a little bit longer. And as he gave them his promise, remind them of the promise, what did he do? He had communion with them, didn't he? And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, believers and non-believers. And they began to eat. And they were all, what? Encouraged. You think that was, oh, my stomach's full, so everything's happy? Just because your stomach's full, you're still in the middle of a storm and the boat's falling apart. They were encouraged because they were spiritually in one accord. They were spiritually fed and nurtured. Their ears now are tuned in to God's heart. Their hearts are right with the Lord. They said, Father, I strayed, but now I'm fully right with you. I receive your salvation. We're covered by the blood. We are clean. It's a new day. Your mercies are new every morning. Today is a new morning for me. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. I'm filled with the spirit of hope in the Holy Spirit. We are in one accord together, and God is our God. That's why they were encouraged, not because their bellies are full. I don't know about you, but if I was not spiritually encouraged, I wouldn't have been able to eat because I'd be nauseous and nervous and anxious. But they got to that place where he prepared a table for them in the presence of their foe, that storm. They were able to sit in peace and eat and be encouraged. Hope was restored in salvation in Christ. It was a reminder. It was a covenant. When you break bread together, when you have communion, it's a reminder of the covenant we have with God that he made with us. They had covenant together. They reunited together as one with him. They restored that covenant. And after eating, what did they do? They threw out the rest of the food. That's how much hope they had. You know what? Let's throw out the wheat. We don't need it. It's just taking up extra weight on the boat. Because God's now our food. God's going to sustain us. The things that we thought would sustain us, we don't need it anymore. Because we have God on our side. He's got our back. The thing that we thought we needed to be nourished and strengthened in, we don't. Because we have God who's filling us. We're now listening to the Holy Spirit. We're being preached to the Word, and we're receiving the Word through Paul. We're being encouraged and edified and built in the Holy Spirit. So they threw it out. And then they struck land in the place where they've never been before. So verse 39, when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach and onto which they planned to run the ship, if possible. So God took them because they trusted him someplace they've never been before. See, when we stay the course, God's going to take us to these new levels. He's going to take us someplace that we were afraid to travel to, place that we didn't think we can get to, ever get to, or ever do. He's going to take us to the unknown, but it's going to be known to him and known to us in him. He's going to take us to new standards, to new levels, as we fast, as we pray, as we are nurtured by him, as we stick with him. Our faith rises, and we go to these new places, these new levels. And as they reached the land, what happened? The boat began to break apart. Verse 41, striking the place where the two seas met, the ship ran aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was broken up by the violent waves. So why is that important? Why did that ship? God took them to somewhere new. Now he needed to remove the old man. He needed to get rid of the vehicle that would take us back to our old ways. We made a choice to stick it out with him. We got rid of the thing that would create the escape, and we trusted. But see, now we're in a new place. We're not what we once were. These men were no longer the pagan sailors that they once were. They were not the unbelievers they once were. That ship symbolized the old, because it was in that ship where they said, oh, the storm is good. We can do this because we know what it's supposed to look like and feel like. We'll just operate in the flesh. That needed to be destroyed. Now, we know they're going to get another boat, which is going to continue that journey. But the old needed to be destroyed. The old man inside of us is dead in Christ. We are a new creation in Christ. God removes the old man. He puts new wine in new wineskin. Because the old wineskin can't handle the new wine. That boat can't handle who they are now anymore. God raised the standard, didn't he? God can't, we're not going to be able to look back. I mean, how many of us used to say, oh, this movie, whatever it is, was the greatest movie ever. And then now that we're walking in the Spirit of Christ, we watch again, oh my gosh, I can't believe I even cared about this movie. I used to think Mel Brooks' movie, The History of the World, Part 1, was the funniest movie I ever seen. And then when I grew up spiritually, and I remember watching, thinking, oh, this is a great movie when it was on TV, I'm going, oh my gosh, what did I think? Because I see with new eyes. I see with a new mind. I have the mind of Christ now and the heart of God in me. Holy Spirit in me. The old is not going to sustain me. It needs to die. The old man needs to die because God's taken me. He's taken us. He's took them to a new place. So anything reflecting the old has to be cast aside. But there's one thing left, right? They had to swim to shore. Verse 42, the soldiers, still a little part of the old, they were fearful that they would be killed by their leadership if they got back without the prisoners. And they were afraid the prisoners were going to escape. So the soldiers' plan, verse 42, was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from that purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard, and those who can't, they can get on rafts and they can get on planks and whatever else they can keep them. See, there's an adjustment to the new. And when we enter that new realm, there's going to be a little bit of a testing. There's going to be those challenges that are going to come up that's going to help take us to the next level. That's going to keep us going in the next level. Because our old ways, you know, that little bird in our ears, those lies that we once believed, if you're struggling with self-esteem and self-doubt, that the enemy's going to try to whisper those things in our minds every time. And we're going to say, get behind me, Satan. For I am strengthened in Christ. I don't walk by fear anymore. I don't walk by self-doubt anymore. Because I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a son, a daughter of the King. I'm a prince or princess of the kingdom of heaven. Those things are going to come up where we have to crush them under our feet and stand on them. And it's a learning process on how to work out this element of our walk. How to walk with authority. You don't all of a sudden accept Christ as your Savior, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and know it all. You've got to, we grow. This is the atoning process. This is the going from glory to glory. And every glory I go to is a victory I have when things come up like this. So the old man, the old ways, those old habits, when they try to come back, we have to remind ourselves and the enemy who we are now, not who we were. I don't know that person anymore. This is who I am now. So the centurion said, we're not doing things like that anymore. This is a new day. We don't walk in fear anymore, spirit of fear, because that's what it was. They were afraid for their own lives being killed by their bosses, their leaders. Walk not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind is what his word says. And the centurion said, no, let him go. Even to the point where he trusted them to just, you can swim, guys, go. I'm not even going to shackle you. We'll see you on the island. We're trusting you. See, this is unity, spirit of unity, of coming together. They were learning to adjust, to work out their salvation, as the Word of God says, in this way. They were saved. We are saved in Christ when we receive His blood and His love. When we receive His atoning love. But now we got to learn to walk as best friends with the Holy Spirit. Learn to live as best friends with Christ. And this was their first step. They wanted to return to what they were comfortable and knew. In the centurion, remember, Paul isn't the one who told him to do this. The centurion himself said, no, we need to trust. What happened is going to happen the right way. And then what happened? They were saved. They were saved. Not a single one. I just loved this story when I've read it so many times, but recently it stuck with me, especially the part of the way of escape. We need to cut that out. All those things that God spoke to us about, that He has for us. You know, I'll just share with you one more scripture. It's not in PowerPoint, and I shared this morning. Just feel like this was powerful because it spoke to me. Oh, I don't have it anymore. It's in Psalm 139, where the Lord said, "Even before there was no substance, I ordained your ways. I've set your path even before you were born," which goes along with Jeremiah, that while we were yet in our mother's womb, He knew us, and He formed us, and He knew what He wants us to be. So these are the things that the Lord wants to encourage us today. Whatever you've been going through, whatever you've been praying for, whatever you've been struggling with, whatever you've been doubting, if ask the Holy Spirit to give you direction in this. You're on a course with God right now. You are walking with Him. This is the course He has you. Come against discouragement with faith. Come against fear with peace. Come against that storm with hope. Christ is our hope, and He's working it out. Stay the course. Stay on that boat till God says, "We've come to the end of the journey together," and receive that blessing of increased intimacy and faith with Him. Would you stand up with me, please? Amen. And what the Holy Spirit, as Tiff was sharing, just came to me is that skiff is there because fear resounds within our hearts. So in Jesus' name, we come against that spirit of fear. We bind that spirit of fear in our lives in Jesus' name right now. We cancel its assignment in the name of Jesus. And we just release the power of God, the love of God, and the mind of Christ. For He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. And true love casts out all fear. So we just release the baptism of love. We release that power of God, the love of God, the mind of Christ on us. That we walk in Your peace right now, Lord. Release that. And right now, just want you to just ask the Holy Spirit, what is keeping you keep that skiff, or at least, or even turning to that skiff to look at it every now and then? This is what we want to cut away today. Cut away. Could be emotional bondage. It could be, as Tiffany said, some kind of substance thing that we become dependent on, or something else, whatever it might be that keeps us thinking we can escape. It's a way out if we need to. We are to cut it off in faith today, Lord. So we just release Your peace, Lord, and Your faith, a supernatural increase in faith right now to do so. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to kind of work that out with the Holy Spirit right now. Then I'm going to ask you to just get together in groups of threes and fours and just pray, really pray for each other on these things. And I want to encourage you to not be stuck with the same people. Go somewhere else. Pray with other people. See who God is highlighting to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.